A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
So Daniel sent us this one. He's been thinking about something that honestly keeps me up at night too. He's had hundreds of conversations with AI chat platforms, researching apartment renovations, parenting advice, business strategy. And his question is basically, where does all that data actually live? And what happens to it if his account gets suspended while he's on vacation? He points out that there's nothing technically preventing these platforms from offering proper export and backup features. If you self-host something like OpenWeb UI, you own the data surface completely. But he's come to the conclusion that, if a good commercial solution exists, reinventing your own wheel isn't a prudent investment of time.
The scope of this is genuinely staggering when you sit with it. ChatGPT alone crossed 400 million monthly active users. That's not a chat app anymore, that's infrastructure. The short answer is no, nobody's doing this properly. And what makes it fascinating is that it's not a technical problem. The technology to do incremental, automated backups of chat history has existed for decades. Email clients figured this out in the 90s. Google Takeout has been doing batch exports since 2011. But as of right now, mid-2026, ChatGPT has over 400 million monthly active users and still offers nothing beyond a manual export button that emails you a zip file. One shot, all or nothing. No incremental sync, no API, no scheduled backups. It's the data equivalent of backing up your hard drive by mailing yourself a DVD once a year. No scheduling, no selective export, no diff-based incremental updates. You want last Tuesday's conversations? You're downloading everything again.
The download everything again model. The backup equivalent of moving your entire house into a storage unit every time you want to find a receipt.
There's no API endpoint for programmatic access. No OAuth scoped tokens that would let a third-party backup tool connect and sync your chats. Compare that to what Google Takeout does for Gmail. You can request incremental exports via the API, scoped to specific data types with proper authentication. The technical blueprint exists. These platforms are choosing not to implement it. You can't set it to run every night and only pull the conversations that changed. None of the major platforms have anything resembling what we'd consider a proper backup surface. And what's wild is that Google, of all companies, should be the best at this. They built Takeout. They understand data portability at scale. But even they haven't connected the dots to make AI conversation backup seamless and automated. That's not a hypothetical. I've seen it happen with SaaS platforms across the board.
So, define that for me. What would a proper backup surface actually look like, technically, if you were designing it tomorrow?
What's different about AI chat platforms is the depth of the data. These aren't transactional records. They're extended, multi-turn conversations where you're refining ideas, getting nuanced advice, building templates. The loss isn't just inconvenient, it's genuinely destructive to ongoing work. And ideally, a webhook or event stream that notifies my backup system when something changes. New conversation created, message added, file uploaded. That's the whole thing. OpenWeb UI implements essentially this architecture out of the box. It exposes a full REST API. You can query every conversation, every message, every uploaded file. And because it stores everything in a SQLite database locally, you can just back up that single file and you're done. Right. Let me break down what a proper implementation would actually require, because it's not complicated. First, you'd need a user data API with scoped access tokens.
So the technology is, as you said, straightforward. The self-hosted world solved this years ago, which means the commercial platforms aren't failing to offer this because it's hard.
A call that says, give me all chats modified since timestamp X. That way a backup tool doesn't have to re-download everything every time. Third, you'd need support for attached files and images, because conversations increasingly include uploaded documents, screenshots, reference materials. None of this is novel. It's REST API design 101. Making export frictionless threatens that data accumulation. Every conversation that leaves the platform is a conversation they can't learn from. There are at least three incentives working against it. The first and most obvious is lock-in. AI chat platforms monetize through continued engagement and subscription revenue. Making it easy to maintain a full local copy of your chat history reduces switching costs. If you've got a year of conversations with ChatGPT and you can seamlessly export them to a format that another platform could ingest, the barrier to trying Claude or Gemini or whatever comes next drops dramatically.
It's the Hotel California model. You can check out anytime you like, but your data can never leave.
That's the second layer. Chat histories aren't just a retention tool, they're training data assets. These companies use conversation data to improve their models, refine safety filters, and understand user behavior. They may be reluctant to surrender full copies of the raw material they're actively mining. Even if they claim not to train on user data, the aggregate patterns are valuable, and full data portability makes it harder to control how that data flows. I've seen the internal calculus at software companies. Every product manager knows that reducing friction for data export reduces switching costs, and reducing switching costs increases churn. It's not a mystery. The third is that backup features don't drive revenue. They're infrastructure. They cost engineering time to build and maintain, they add support burden, and they don't directly convert free users to paid subscribers.
It's the gym membership model applied to knowledge work. They're counting on you not canceling because the hassle of extracting your stuff is just annoying enough.
Enterprise plans are the exception because compliance features are a line item you can charge for. ChatGPT Enterprise at roughly $60 per user per month includes admin data retention policies and export controls, but those are designed for organizational governance, not individual backup. The feature gap for small businesses and solo users is intentional.
So the $60 per user enterprise plan gets proper data controls, and everyone else gets the zip file of despair. That's not a technical limitation. That's market segmentation by data anxiety. These things happen quietly, all the time, and the platform has no incentive to help you recover, because you're not an enterprise customer paying $60 per seat per month.
A solo practitioner running a consulting business might have 50-plus chats per day, refining client response templates, building research threads, developing content strategies. That's a significant intellectual asset. But $60 per user per month, times maybe 5 to 10 employees, and suddenly you're looking at $300 to $600 a month for what amounts to a backup feature. At that price point, you might as well build your own solution. But those plans typically start at $25 to $60 per user per month, often with annual commitments and seat minimums. A three-person marketing agency isn't getting that. A solo consultant isn't getting that. Open Web UI is essentially a front-end that connects to various AI models. OpenAI's API, Anthropic's API, local models via Llama, and stores all your chat data locally.
So the features are built. They're just not turned on for you.
You can version control your conversation history. You can even set up incremental sync so only new chats get added to each backup. The deployment itself is straightforward. A Docker Compose file, a few environment variables, and you're running.
Which brings us to the regulatory angle. GDPR, Article 20, the right to data portability. Daniel mentioned it in passing, and I know you've looked at this.
Article 20 says users have the right to receive their personal data in a structured, commonly used, and machine-readable format. And technically, a zip file full of JSON meets that bar. Realistically, about 30 minutes a month. You need to apply security updates, monitor uptime, occasionally troubleshoot when an API changes. If you're running it on a $10 a month VPS with automated backups to Backblaze B2, your total cost is around $15 a month.
The letter of the law being a single snapshot you have to remember to request, while the spirit of the law was supposed to be about genuine data mobility.
Right. The spirit of Article 20 was that you shouldn't be trapped in a service because your data is held hostage. It was supposed to enable meaningful competition by letting users take their data and go to a competitor. But the regulators wrote the law before anyone imagined a world where people would have daily, substantive conversations with an AI that effectively become their external brain. Let me put some concrete numbers on what hoping nothing goes wrong actually means. ChatGPT's built-in export generates a ZIP file that gets emailed to you. The process is manual, it's all or nothing, and there's no way to schedule it or make it selective. If you're having 50 conversations a day, after 6 months you've got roughly 9,000 chats.
And enforcement?
weak. European data protection authorities have bigger fish to fry than whether ChatGPT's export button is convenient enough. They're dealing with mass surveillance cases, with facial recognition abuses, with cross-border data transfer violations. A complaint about the ZIP file as annoying to download isn't going to top their priority list, so the regulatory pressure that might force better portability hasn't materialized in a meaningful way.
Let me ask you about the third-party workaround ecosystem, because I know there's a cottage industry of browser extensions and CLI tools that try to fill this gap. What's actually out there, and can you rely on any of it?
They read the HTML structure of the chat interface and extract the text. Every time OpenAI or Anthropic updates their UI, these extensions break. There's no stable API contract, no platform endorsement, no guarantee that the tool will work next week. It's the early days of cloud storage all over again. Before Dropbox had native integrations, there were dozens of third-party sync tools that cobbled together functionality from whatever hooks they could find. Most of them died within a year. And because they're scraping the rendered UI rather than hitting a stable API, the data they capture is often incomplete, missing metadata, missing the structured format that makes the data actually useful for analysis or migration. You might get the text of your messages, but you won't get the model version, the token counts, the system prompt, the branching structure if you edited a message and regenerated a response. All that context evaporates.
And the CLI tools?
If you know your chat history could vanish, or if you're not sure who has access to it, you avoid deep, multi-turn conversations on sensitive topics, health questions, legal research, financial planning. You keep things surface level because you can't trust the persistence layer. That directly limits the utility of AI tools for the kind of substantive work where they'd be most valuable. A developer reverse engineers the internal API that the ChatGPT web client uses, builds a tool around it, maintains it for a few months, and then OpenAI pushes an update that breaks authentication or changes the response format, and the tool goes dormant. None of this is reliable enough to bet a business on. You can't build a backup strategy on a tool that might stop working tomorrow with no notice and no recourse. And you definitely shouldn't be handing your session tokens to a third-party tool of uncertain provenance.
So the state of play is manual ZIP export that you'll forget to do, enterprise features you can't afford, and a gray market of scrapers held together with hope.
Then IMAP and POP3 became standard, and suddenly you could sync your email to a local client, back it up, search it offline. The data became portable because users demanded it and protocols emerged to support it. AI chat platforms are still in the pre-IMAP era. Everything is server-side, and the only protocol is the web interface. Poe has per-conversation export, but no bulk, no API. You'd have to manually export every conversation one by one, which for a heavy user could mean hundreds of individual export actions. It's technically possible and practically absurd.
So we've established the problem and the incentives keeping it in place. Let's talk about what someone actually does about it today. Daniel's core question, do we need to host our own AI platforms?
Under GDPR, users can file data portability requests, and platforms are obligated to provide data in a structured, commonly used, machine-readable format. The problem is enforcement. Filing a request gets you a one-time export, which is what these platforms already offer. What the regulations don't mandate is ongoing, automated portability, the ability to set up a continuous sync. That's the gap between compliance and actual utility. You back it up however you want.
So you're splitting the problem. The model stays in the cloud, the data comes home.
These aren't official solutions, and they come with their own privacy and reliability trade-offs. You're trusting a third-party developer with your API credentials and your conversation data. But they demonstrate that the demand exists. If enough users migrate to these tools, the major platforms might eventually feel pressure to offer native solutions. If OpenAI suspends your API key tomorrow, your data is still there. You spin up a new key, point it at Anthropic instead, and you haven't lost a single conversation. That would be the cynical read, and I can't say it's wrong. But there's another possibility.
Walk me through a concrete scenario. I'm a consultant. I've been using ChatGPT Pro for 8 months. I've got maybe 600 conversations, client strategy sessions, proposal drafts, research threads. I want to move to this self-hosted model. What does that migration actually look like?
The platforms that solve data portability first may gain a trust advantage that translates directly into enterprise adoption. You point it at the extracted folder, it parses the conversations and loads them into your local SQLite database. That's your historical data, preserved. From that point forward, you use OpenWeb UI as your chat interface. There are three tiers of response, depending on your technical comfort level and how much you value your data. Tier 1. If you want maximum control and you're comfortable with basic server administration, self-host OpenWeb UI, or a similar platform, deploy it on a cheap VPS, set up automated nightly backups to Backblaze B2 or S3, and sleep soundly. Total cost around $15 a month, total setup time a weekend, ongoing maintenance about 30 minutes a month. You own everything.
And Tier 2, for people who don't want to manage infrastructure.
Tier 2 is the manual backup habit. Use the built-in export feature monthly. Download the zip file, store it in encrypted cloud storage, and maintain a separate document, Google Doc, Notion, whatever, with your most valuable prompts and response templates. This is not a real backup strategy, it's a stopgap. But it means that if your account disappears tomorrow, you haven't lost everything. You've at least preserved the templates and research threads you explicitly saved. At Backblaze pricing, storing a year of that would cost you about $1, total.
Compare that to the cost of losing 6 months of client strategy conversations.
The business calculus shifts when enough users demonstrate that they care. Right now, the signal these companies get is that most users don't think about backups until it's too late. Changing that signal is slow work, but it's the only path to a commercial solution that doesn't require self-hosting. You can set up multiple API keys and route different kinds of queries to different providers based on cost or capability. The control surface is dramatically larger.
If the answer is not much, you're either not using these tools deeply enough, or you've already built the plan. Where's the line where this stops making sense?
That's such an obviously useful feature that its absence is almost comical. You're in a chat, you've just gotten a brilliant analysis of a business problem, and you want to save that specific thread to your project folder in Drive. Right now, your options are copy-paste, screenshot, or export your entire account history and dig through the zip heap. None of those are reasonable workflows. For someone who's comfortable with basic sysadmin, it's maybe an hour of setup and 10 minutes a month of maintenance. For someone who's never touched a terminal, it's a steeper climb. I wouldn't recommend it to someone who doesn't know what a Docker container is and isn't interested in learning. The frustration cost would outweigh the data sovereignty benefit.
So what's the path for the person who says, I can't or won't self-host, but I also can't afford to lose my data?
But none of them have cracked the export problem. The closest thing to a viable middle ground might be API-based tools where you bring your own keys and the client handles storage. But that's still a workaround, not a solution. Encrypted cloud storage, a NAS, even just a folder on your computer that's backed up by your regular system backup. It's not incremental, it's not automated, but it means the most you can lose is a week of conversations. That's dramatically better than losing everything. And I'd add, label your zip files. Include the date range and the file name. Store them somewhere you'll actually find them if you need them. And that's what makes it such a perfect Daniel prompt. He's identified a gap that's obvious once you see it, technically solvable, and completely unaddressed by the major players. The question isn't whether it's possible.
The better-than-nothing strategy.
Which is honestly underrated. Most people do nothing. Going from nothing to a weekly manual export is a huge improvement in your actual risk profile, even if it feels clunky. It's the difference between a 0% chance of recovery and a 90%+ chance of recovery. That's not nothing.
As agents get more autonomous and conversations span months instead of minutes, the tension between utility and ownership is only going to intensify. The platforms that solve this first might not win on features. They might win on trust. OpenAI has a feature request forum. Anthropic has support channels. Google has feedback mechanisms. The platforms track demand signals. If enough users ask for API-based export, it eventually becomes harder to ignore.
The export button that emails you a zip file isn't a feature, it's a statement about who really owns the conversations you're having. Users should know what choice was made for them. They're fighting an uphill battle against undocumented APIs and shifting terms of service, but they're doing important work. Star their repos, contribute if you can, use their tools when they're stable enough. The more visible the demand for these tools, the more likely they are to attract maintainers and survive.
Let me pull on a thread you mentioned earlier. You said the Enterprise features exist. The code paths are there. They're just gated. What would actually force the platforms to open those features to smaller users?
I think two things. The first is competitive pressure. If one major platform breaks ranks and offers proper data portability as a differentiator, markets it as your data is yours, here's the API to prove it, the others would have to respond. We've seen this dynamic in email, in cloud storage, in CRM. Someone eventually decides that trust is a marketable feature. Imagine if Anthropic announced tomorrow, Claude now offers a read-only API for your conversation history. The toaster detail really sells it. Thanks, Hilbert.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Our producer is Hilbert Flumingtop. If you want to send us your own weird prompt, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back soon.
Regulation with teeth. The EU AI Act is the most obvious vector. It's focused primarily on risk classification and transparency right now, but data governance is a growing part of the conversation. If a future amendment or a US federal AI law mandates meaningful data portability, not just a ZIP file, but actual API-based, incremental, automated access, the platforms would have to comply. And once they build it for the EU market, it tends to become available globally because maintaining region-gated feature sets is expensive. The engineering cost of building a feature and then restricting it by region often exceeds the cost of just making it available everywhere.
So the horizon might be 2 to 3 years before regulatory or competitive pressure forces the issue.
That's my estimate. And in the meantime, the self-hosting path is available, it's mature, and it works today. The tools are open source, well documented, and actively maintained. Open Web UI in particular has become polished. It's not a janky developer tool anymore. It's a real product that happens to be self-hosted. It has a clean interface, it supports plugins, it has mobile responsive design. You can access it from your phone. It's not a downgrade in user experience from the commercial platforms.
There's something almost philosophical here about the gap between what these platforms could do and what they choose to do. The technology for proper data sovereignty exists. It's implemented. It works. The only thing preventing you from having it is that the companies selling you the AI have decided you're more valuable locked in than free.
And that's the uncomfortable truth at the bottom of this. When a platform's business model depends on you not leaving, every feature that makes leaving easier is a feature they have to be dragged into building. They won't volunteer it. We have to demand it. And that's not a cynical take. It's just an accurate description of how platform economics work. The incentives are what they are. Recognizing them is the first step to working around them.
So let's land the practical takeaways. If you're a power user or small business, and your AI conversations have real value, and they do, or you wouldn't be having them, you have three options today. Option 1, self-host, a front-end like Open Web UI with a commercial API key. Full data control, incremental backups, pennies a month. Option 2, manual weekly exports. Not elegant, but it caps your data loss at 7 days. Option 3, do nothing and hope nothing goes wrong. Which, as Daniel pointed out, is how you end up losing months of work, because a credit card lapsed.
And I'd add option 4, which is advocacy. File the portability requests. Post in the forums. Make it clear to these platforms that data sovereignty is a purchasing criterion. The more users who signal that they care about this, the faster the incentives shift. And option 4 pairs with any of the first 3, you can self-host and still advocate. You can do manual exports and still file GDPR requests. These aren't mutually exclusive.
The open question I keep coming back to is whether data portability ever becomes a competitive differentiator in AI chat, or whether lock-in remains the dominant strategy indefinitely. Email went through this exact arc. For years, exporting your email was a nightmare, and then IMAP and standardized protocols made it trivial to switch providers. Now nobody would use an email service that didn't let you take your data with you. It's table stakes. You wouldn't even consider a provider that locked your email archive inside their walled garden.
The pre-IMAP era is exactly the right analogy. Right now, AI chat is in that pre-IMAP era. Every platform has its own proprietary storage format, its own export mechanism, its own limitations. There's no standard protocol for conversation portability. But IMAP didn't happen because email providers suddenly got generous. It happened because users demanded it and the market responded. The same arc is possible here. And I'd argue the stakes are higher than email ever was. Email was communication. AI conversations are increasingly becoming an extension of human cognition, a searchable, queryable external memory. Losing your email archive is painful. Losing your AI conversation history could mean losing the recorded evolution of your thinking on important projects. That's a qualitatively different kind of loss.
And until that arc completes, back up your chats.
If you can't afford to lose your last 100 conversations, you don't have a backup strategy. That's the litmus test. Apply it today, not tomorrow, not when you get around to it, today. Because the thing about data loss is it never announces itself in advance. You don't get a warning email that says, your account will be locked in 3 days, please prepare accordingly. It just happens, and by the time it happens, it's too late.
And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The platypus is the only mammal known to use electrolocation to hunt underwater, detecting the faint electric fields generated by the muscle contractions of its prey. A sensory mechanism that, when first reported to European naturalists in the 1790s from specimens sent from Papua New Guinea, was dismissed as a hoax so elaborate that a curator at the British Museum reportedly took scissors to a preserved pelt, searching for the stitches.
I have questions about that curator's methodology.
The scissors-to-pelt approach to scientific inquiry. Though I suppose if you believed someone had stitched a duck's bill onto a beaver's body, cutting it open to check would be the logical move. It's just that the mental image of a museum curator in the 1790s, scissors in hand, muttering, "I'll find those stitches," over a platypus pelt is deeply entertaining.
It's also a perfect metaphor for how we approach new technology. Something arrives that doesn't fit our existing categories, and our first instinct is to cut it open looking for the trick. The platypus was real. And so is the data portability problem. The difference is the platypus wasn't hiding anything. The AI platforms are.
That's a clean landing, and an unsettling one.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. If you got something out of this episode, do us a favor and leave a review wherever you listen. It helps more people find the show. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.